This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar has dropped out of the U.S. presidential race. She will endorse Vice President Joe Biden later today. That leaves five Democrats in the race, including Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Now, Massachusetts is one of 14 states and one U.S. territory that are going to go to the polls tomorrow, Super Tuesday. Senator Warren is going to vote in Cambridge tomorrow, but she won't be here to watch the results roll in tomorrow night. She'll be in Detroit, Michigan, not a Super Tuesday state. Just before the news about Klobuchar broke, WBUR's Bob Oakes spoke with Senator Elizabeth Warren about the future of her campaign.
Let me ask you kind of frankly, you've been running third, fourth, and in fifth place in the early primary states, yet you vowed to take your campaign all the way to the convention. Why, when there's no indication at this moment that you're going to break that pattern?
The way I see it is I'm out there running to get enough delegates to be able to win the convention. That's exactly what I'm working on. I have more than a million individual contributors to my campaign. During the month of February alone, we raised $29 million. People are in this fight because I made the decision from the very beginning not to do fundraising by going to spend time with billionaires and corporate executives and lobbyists. I ended up going to 30 states and Puerto Rico, and I've built out operations in all of those places. I always assumed this was going to be a long primary, and we have a lot of people who are in it. And I'm doing my best to try to be the one who's got enough delegates by the time we get to the convention to win.
Well, explain what your path to the nomination is, if you would, because a lot of Democrats, and I think you know this, a lot of Democrats can't see it.
The way I see it, it's now clear. The Democratic Party is a progressive party, and progressive ideas are popular. So that's part one. I am a progressive and I fight for progressive ideas. And the second part is, as a party, we're only going to get one chance here to make real change, to get the things through like universal child care and canceling student loan debt and increasing Social Security payments. So we need a nominee and we need a president who has a track record for getting things done. That's the kind of work I did when I built the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It's the kind of work I've done on hearing aids. It's the kind of hard work I've done pretty much all my life, but this time really focused on how we get legislative change made. And I have a track record for that, so that's my pitch to the voters.
You know, you say the Democratic Party is a progressive party. Certainly Joe Biden is hoping that it's more of a centrist party. But given the voting so far, progressives seem to be coalescing around Bernie Sanders. Is your message to voters somehow getting lost in translation?
I don't know. I'm not there to talk about message. I'm there just to talk about the ideas and to get out what it is that we have such an incredible opportunity to do in 2020. You know, we have to beat Donald Trump. You bet we do. But we also have to deliver real change starting in January 2021. And that's going to take knowing which fights to take on, how to fight them smart, how to build coalitions. You know, back during the financial crisis a decade ago, when I had the idea for Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, people told me, great idea, but don't even try because you can never get something like that passed. It's just too progressive. You can't get it done. But I dug in on it. I fought the banks. They were spending more than $1 million a day at one point to fight us. I fought Wall Street. I built the coalitions. And Barack Obama signed that agency into law and proved we fight smart, we fight right, we can get things done. We can make government work for the people.
You know, Senator, I think I've heard you say that story maybe a dozen or two dozen or three dozen times during the course of this campaign. And while I appreciate it, I'm just not so sure it's cutting through with voters.
Well, you know, I think it's an important part of understanding where we head next. We need a nominee who speaks to all parts of the Democratic Party, and we need a nominee who can get the job done.
And is that not Bernie Sanders? Do you not see Bernie Sanders being able to do that, or Joe Biden?
We both wanted, both Bernie and I, wanted to rein in Wall Street following the crash of 2008. I'm the one who dug in and did the hard work and delivered on it. That was what I did. And it has made a big difference. People aren't getting cheated on mortgages and credit cards in the way they were before that agency came along. We need to be smart going forward. Progressive ideas are what have captured the imagination of this country. People understand that we can't just have the same old, but we're really going to have to deliver come January 2021.
Just so I can translate here, is Joe Biden the same old, same old?
Joe Biden is not the person who is talking about new ideas. He's not talking about big changes. He's talking about modest changes. And look, modest changes would be better than where we are now. Everyone standing on that Democratic stage would make a better president than Donald Trump and would take us in a better direction. And I support whoever our Democratic nominee will, it turns out to be. But I do believe this is a moment we've been called to in history, not just to get rid of Donald Trump, but a moment when we have enough people off the sidelines, enough people fighting back against the influence of money in Washington, enough people who say, you know what, it is time. It's time for universal child care. It's time to cancel student loan debt for 43 million Americans. It's time for universal health care coverage. It's time to expand Social Security. We make just those four changes, and that's life transformative for tens of millions of people all across this country. It's an exciting moment.
Are you worried that a long fight all the way to the convention this summer would weaken the party heading into the election, the fight against Donald Trump, as you say?
Look, I want to see us come together as a party. I think it's going to be important to unite behind a candidate who speaks to all parts of the party and who works with all parts of the party. I do believe that's going to be important because our number one job come November is to beat Donald Trump, and it's going to take a unified party to do that. And the sooner we get there, the better. We cannot have a repeat of 2016.
Well, one last question, if I might. In Massachusetts, the polls show a very tight race, but with Sanders ahead of you, tell me one place you're going to win tomorrow on Super Tuesday or in the coming weeks.
You know, I think of this as 10 years ago, I wasn't even in politics. 10 years ago, I was still a college professor. And when people said that Scott Brown was going to be reelected no matter what, and some people encouraged me to run for the Senate, and I threw it out there and said, I will do my best. I got in that race, and people all across Massachusetts, some with long histories in politics, but people I didn't know, and some who'd never been in politics before, said, you pick that up and do that, and we'll help you out. I will always be grateful to the people of Massachusetts for putting me in this fight, and I hope I've done a good job of fighting it on their behalf.
But with all due respect, Senator, you didn't answer the question. You did win in Massachusetts. Where are you going to win in the presidential contest?
Look, what I'm doing is I'm out there fighting for every vote. This is about winning. Today we talk about universal child care. A year ago we didn't. And we talk about it as a reality. I've shown how we could do that. A 2-cent wealth tax, and we can have universal child care in this country. A 2-cent wealth tax, and we can cancel student loan debt. Increase the taxes on the top 2% of Americans, and we can actually increase both Social Security and disability payments for everybody in this country by $200 a month. Those are life transformative changes. And today, they look like a reality. They are possible. They are within our grasp. We just have to reach out there and take them. And to me, that's winning.
And that's Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren speaking with WBUR's Bob Oakes a little earlier this afternoon. Now, from a current Massachusetts senator to a former one, John Kerry. Kerry is also a former Secretary of State, and he joined us this afternoon minutes before Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar dropped out of the race to explain why he is endorsing former Vice President Joe Biden, even with a senator from his home state still in the race.
Look, I think Elizabeth's a terrific senator, and I think she's been a great warrior in this, and she's clearly been extraordinarily articulate. And I'm a fan of Elizabeth, but I think we are at a particular moment in our country where our democracy is threatened in ways that will require a very special set of relationships and a readiness, if you will, to pull people together. Joe Biden has shown that capacity many, many times in many different ways. I mean, when Obama came in and we had the crisis of our economy, it was Joe Biden that he made in charge of getting on the Hill to get the Recovery Act passed, that we did, and it was the largest infrastructure program and last one we've had in our country, but the largest in history. I think the world is broken right now. We have the Iran nuclear agreement in tatters, and near war. We have nuclear weapons challenges around the world. We have cyber challenges. We have Russia, China doing various things. Joe Biden has been there, done that. He's got the readiness, I believe. He doesn't have to build a relationship with the leader of another country. You also have another asset. Joe Biden is the only candidate running who was asked to campaign in 24 states for 65 candidates in 2018 when we won back the House. And those congressmen and people, men and women who were elected, will tell you that they're afraid of running down the ticket with other candidates.
So let's pick that up for a minute. You've said in previous interviews and talking about Joe Biden, the vice president, that he is a powerful progressive. So first, would you agree that he is more moderate than Senator Sanders or Elizabeth Warren? Would you agree with that?
Well, he's certainly more moderate than Senator Sanders. You know, Joe Biden is not a socialist, and he's not proposing Medicare for all because we can't afford it, number one, and number two, you can't pass it. And number three, it kicks 150 million Americans off of their insurance. So I don't think you can get elected to that. I think in Michigan, which I had the privilege of carrying when I ran for president, is not a state that can be carried if you've been flirting with or are supportive of Medicare for All, because most of the auto workers there joined the union to have their health insurance. And they're not going to want to be told, you're off it. You can't have it anymore.
So to that point, what does it then mean to be progressive in 2020? You've just listed a range of states that need to be carried, a coalition that needs to be built. So what does it need to mean?
Well, I think it's progressive to say, it is progressive as you get to say that you're going to expand Obamacare, provide everybody in the nation a choice, not kick them off, but give them a choice. Do you want a public option? Do you want to do the Obamacare? That's a choice, and that works. And that's something that gets by. So Joe Biden is progressive. He wants everybody in America to have health insurance. He fought to pass Obamacare. That's the most progressive accomplishment we've had in the health field since Harry Truman started trying to pass health care.
Why do you think Vice President Biden outperformed the polls in South Carolina on Saturday?
Because I think people are suddenly taking stock of the choice in the party, which, you know, with all due respect to a number of people who are currently still running, I think if you read today's New York Times, made it pretty clear that it's becoming a choice between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. And I think a lot of people are motivated and deeply concerned about a Bernie Sanders candidacy for president. I've seen what's happened to us previously when we have somebody who can be fringed. That doesn't mean they are a fringe. I was fringe. I've been there. I know what it means when you get attacked for things you didn't do or your record or perceptions. And I think Joe Biden from Scranton, Pennsylvania, a kid whose dad had to move to Delaware to find a job, who sat around the kitchen table and worried about where the ends were going to meet, is a guy who can appeal to people in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and places we need to win. So I just think, you know, we've really got to be hard-nosed about this. If I were just voting on one issue or another, then I might, you know, say, okay, I like this person because they're really good and strong on that one issue. you don't have the luxury of one issue this year.
A moment ago, you said that this is becoming a choice between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. If there is a contested convention, do you think that the candidate with the most delegates going into the convention should get the nomination?
Of course not. That's not the rules.
Why not?
That's just not the rules. Because the rules are the rules that Bernie Sanders wrote. Bernie Sanders was the principal architect of the change in the rules. And last time he ran, he argued that it shouldn't be the person with the most votes. Then now, all of a sudden, he's flipped on the rules he tried to pass. He did pass. It's 50% plus one person. That's democracy. And that's exactly the rules that Bernie wrote. And those are the rules that they ought to live by. And that's exactly the way that has worked historically.
Let's look past the convention for a moment. Let's look at a scenario where, after the convention, Joe Biden is the Democratic nominee. We had a WBUR poll last Friday that showed that Bernie Sanders supporters are the least committed to supporting some other Democratic nominee. So should Biden become the nominee, what does he need to do to bring Sanders supporters along and other supporters along into the general election?
Well, he needs to work hard, obviously, and all of us need to work hard, and I will work hard. I'll work for anybody who's the nominee, whoever wins, to make the powerful argument that we cannot afford anybody to sit out. Just take the issue of climate change alone. That issue is the existential threat to all of us. We're going to need amazing leadership, and we're going to need a country that votes on that issue this year.
Secretary Kerry, just one last question for you. Pete Buttigieg and Tom Steyer both dropped out after South Carolina. Do you think other candidates who have been struggling to get traction should drop out as well for the good of the Democratic Party?
I think that Elizabeth Warren's memo from Roger Lau, who I know and love and respect, he's one of the great patriots of working in campaigns and helping make things better. He wrote a memo in which he said there's no path at this moment that says that his candidate or some of the other candidates are going to have any way to become the nominee except at a brokered convention. So I believe that's where we're headed, probably. I do think that at this point in time, because of that, they ought to give the best shot to those people who are in a position at this point to represent different points of view within the Democratic Party. That's a hard thing to say, but I think, you know, we've reached a point now where there have been four different primaries and caucuses. Tomorrow, there's a massive day, and that will put a lot on the handwriting on the wall, and people certainly have a right to go through tomorrow and make a judgment. But I think after that, we need to get down to business of finding a nominee. Donald Trump loves the fact we have a circular firing squad. He's raising money by the gazillions, and we need to get our party squared away here to begin to focus on the real task at hand, which is to change the direction of our country and of the world.
That's former Secretary of State John Kerry. Secretary Kerry, I appreciate you taking the time today.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
And we reached out to Senator Bernie Sanders today to appear on the show, but the senator was unable to join us.